Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, October 14th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. Thank you so much for making this podcast your first listen each day. The Jets are on their bye week, so today we're going to look across the rest of the NFL to see how things are for the other 31 teams. Joining me as my guest is Matt Williamson. Matt is a former NFL scout and currently the co-host of the Peacock and Williamson podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's going to be a great discussion on the NFL as we head into week six of the 2021 season.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Jets are in their bye week this week, so I wanted to take a broader look around the NFL, and joining me today is Matt Williamson. Matt is the co-host of the Peacock and Williamson podcast. He co-hosts that show every day on the Locked On Podcast Network with Brian Peacock, a guy you may be familiar with because Brian Peacock is also the host of Locked On Niners, and we had him on during the offseason since the Jets brought in about half of the 49ers coaching staff. Matt, thank you so much for taking some time to join me today.
Absolutely, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, in part because the Jets will not lose this weekend, which is always a very positive thing, and it's a very rare occurrence once you get in season. So, Matt, let's talk about the biggest surprises in a positive way at this point of the NFL season. And I look at the Arizona Cardinals right now. They're undefeated. I mean, maybe you thought they'd be good. I'm surprised that they're undefeated at this point of the season. Do you think this team is for real?
It's a great question. I had my doubts about the coaching staff coming into the offseason or coming into the season, and I picked them to be about a 500 team and fourth in a great division. So I was on the fence on them, to be honest with you. You know, the division, you know, made it easy to pick them fourth and more from where I sat. But I thought their offseason was really interesting and is leading to some things now that they went out of their way to get Rodney Hudson, A.J. Green, and J.J. Watt. Old guys. You know, I mean, if this was 4 years ago, I'd be like, wow, they're loaded. But I think that's brought some stability to a young coach, a young quarterback, and all those guys are playing well. I mean, A.J. Green's not a superstar, but you match him with Rondell Moore, and then all of a sudden people can't just – focus on Hopkins in those four receiver sets. Kyler stepped up and is playing phenomenal, and people kind of overlooked how well he was playing before his injury last year. But the defense is the one that's really surprised me a little bit. Those two young linebackers fly around the field. They rush the passer really well. So are they for real? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put a chip down on them to win the whole thing, but I think this will be a big step forward season, and Kyler's in the MVP race.
Now let's talk about the NFC West, because as you mentioned, this looked like the most loaded division in the NFL in the preseason. How do you think it's going to live up to that billing? Because I'm looking right now, it seems like San Francisco is kind of struggling, and the situation in Seattle obviously does not look good. I thought heading into the season that this was a very quarterback dependent team, and now Russell Wilson looks like he's going to miss a bit of time. Do you think this division is as good as we expected it to be prior to the season?
Maybe not. I mean, Arizona exceeds expectations, so that makes the division stronger. I'm with you on Seattle. I mean, for those that don't know, I do a lot of work directly with the Steelers, and Seattle's coming to town this week, Sunday night. So I've really concentrated on this team all week preparing for that game. And boy, you said it right. I mean, Metcalf and Lockett are tremendous pair of receivers, but they are as quarterback dependent as any team I can remember. And frankly, with no disrespect to Geno Smith, who's an average backup, without Wilson, I think they're a bottom eight type of team with a historically bad defense. I mean, a very generic vanilla defense that doesn't make many plays. The run game's just okay. I mean, it's really Wilson, the two receivers, and not much else. And what kind of worries me the more I've looked into this team is, you know, Carroll's up in age. Wilson's already, you know, talked about his displeasure with the organization. If they make wholesale changes, they don't have a first-round pick next year. There's not much to build off of here.
And Matt, the things you just said are things that my listeners are going to love to hear, because as you mentioned, they did not have a first round pick in 2021 and they don't in 2022 because those picks belong to the Jets. And
which, a better pick every day, I think, too.
Absolutely. So people are very excited about those picks. And I think another reason people are excited is Jamal Adams left the Jets under very bad terms. And I think a lot of Jets fans are kind of taking some joy in the fact he's struggling out there. What do you think the issue is right now with Jamal Adams?
I don't understand how they're using him. And frankly, since they have 10 days to prepare for this Sunday night game, I'm hoping that they realize what we're doing on defense isn't working. We got to use Adams more like a pass rusher in the box, joker, wild card guy. Because you guys probably know this better than I do. He's an average coverage man. I mean, he's a disruptor. His skill set isn't, boy, play man coverage against Christian McCaffrey or George Kittle and follow them around all day. And like I mentioned, they're so heavy in zone. They play a lot of two high safeties, and Adams is often that guy, which the further he is from the line of scrimmage, the more of a liability he is, in my opinion. So he's a very unique player, as you guys know, but you got to use him right, and I don't think they are.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me when you say that, especially with the contract they gave him. I mean, are you going to give him two high safety that kind of money?
And obviously what they gave up in draft capital, too.
There's a very good case to be made that the Seahawks overpaid for Jamal Adams. You do not want to overpay like Seattle when you're fixing your car or truck, so go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could possibly need. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Now, looking across the league, of course, the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team everybody thinks will be right there at the end. But who are some of the other teams you think could compete with them?
I think Dallas is very real. I mean, their defense, I'm not sure if everyone's caught up to how much better, faster, more disciplined their defense is from a year ago. They haven't even asked that much out of Dak because they've just been running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage. We know they have weapons. I don't think they really have any competition in their division, so they may set up with the bye week or something like that when it's all said and done. We mentioned Arizona earlier. I think they could give Tampa a run for their money. And I think the most obvious one is the Rams. You know, the Rams aren't a real deep team. So if they can stay healthy, they kind of have that Stars and Scrubs makeup. So if they can stay healthy, I think they'll be in it for sure. But I give the Bucs the leader of the clubhouse of those four. But and Green Bay, I should have mentioned Green Bay too. I think Green Bay is still searching a little bit on the offensive line, new defensive coordinator. They would probably be my fourth vote in the NFC. But I would probably go Tampa 1, Rams 2, Dallas 3, Arizona 4, and then Green Bay.
Now, Matt, let's move over to the AFC and the team that has represented the AFC in the Super Bowl the last couple of years. The Kansas City Chiefs are off to a bit of a slow start. They're going to be okay, aren't they?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I mentioned how bad Seattle's defense is. The only one that rivals it for ineptitude this year is Kansas City. I mean, their defense is like the worst in the league. And they've always been very big play dependent on that side of the ball, with the logic of, hey, if we can create two big plays on defense, you won't be able to keep up with Pat Mahomes and company. And that's worked extremely well. And I don't want to say that there's a blueprint for Mahomes and everybody has them figured out that he's going to come back to earth. That's not going to happen. But defenses are all playing them the same way. I mean, they play too high shell, rush four, make him be very methodical, you know, take away the big play as much as possible, double up on Tyreek. And for the most part, that's worked reasonably well. I mean, they're still one of the best offenses in the league, and they always will be. What's odd to me about them, though, is a lot of attention was paid to their rebuilding of the offensive line, which is paying off and I think will continue to pay off very, very well. But if you look at Orlando Brown and the guard they took out of Tennessee, who's starting at right guard, and in general, it's more of a mash you big running type of offensive line. And their running backs don't really fit that. I mean, I wonder, wouldn't shock me this offseason if they use a second round pick on a 220-pound running back that can catch the ball a little bit. Like, they're missing one more thing on offense.
And the other thing I'd say about the Chiefs is I don't think the schedule makers did them any favors when you look at this slate of games they had to begin. I mean, you start with Cleveland, you then have to go to Baltimore, then you have an up-and-coming Chargers team, a little reprieve against the Eagles, and then Buffalo. So I mean, that's a tough first 5 weeks.
It might not be able to. I'm sure they have the hardest 5 weeks to begin the season of all. I mean, I can't come up with a harder schedule than that unless they had to play Tampa on opening night in Tampa. It's brutal. They'll be fine.
Do you think they win the division, though, because an upstart Chargers team right now has a 2-game lead on them in the AFC West?
Probably not. Losing to the Chargers, because I'm a big, big Chargers believer. I'm a huge Herbert believer. I'm excited to see what they do in Baltimore this week. That's going to be a great game. It's so early. The Chiefs could run the table. I mean, we know they're capable of things like that. So I'm going to go 50-50 on that, where 2 weeks ago I would have gladly given you the field in the AFC West if you'd give me Kansas City.
Now, were you a Herbert believer at the very beginning? Because I have to tell you, I did not love him going into the draft, and he has totally proved me wrong over the last year plus. Were you on Herbert early?
I wish I was on him more. I mean, I really appreciated and understood his skill set at Oregon. Frankly, I liked him more than Tua. That's not what you're asking, though. I mean, I was not super high on him. And his college tape was hard to decipher. I mean, they didn't use him like this. And he has really blossomed in the NFL. I am a believer now, to say the least. I mean, besides Mahomes, maybe Allen. I mean, is there any other quarterback you'd rather start your organization with than Herbert? I mean, he's on a list of short list of three, probably.
Absolutely. Now, we've been talking about some of the best in the NFL. Let's move to the other end. And I'm looking at Jacksonville. Right now. Maybe we should be talking about the Jets, but I'm looking at Jacksonville right now. And that situation just looks untenable. Do you think Urban Meyer is going to make it to the end of the year?
I don't think he'll be the head coach next year. Do we make it to the end of the year? Maybe. I don't know what the organization's philosophy is on, you know, moving on from a guy midway through the season. Frankly, I don't know that that does anyone any good, but I don't think he's the answer. I think he's very much in over his head. That organization, I mean, they've lost 20 in a row. I mean, that's hard to do in this league. And it's not like they're totally void of talent. They should be more competitive than where they are. And I don't know how the organization can say, boy, that first year with Urban Meyer was a success. Let's bring him back. I'd rather spend the millions and go fish and try to find somebody else.
Now, Matt, one of the things I neglected to mention at the very beginning is that you've worked in the NFL. You're a former scout, so you have a good idea on how organizations work, you know, what makes them run well, what makes them run poorly. You look at a coach like Urban Meyer, who barely ever lost in college at anywhere he was. What's the difference in the NFL? Why does a guy like Urban Meyer have so much success in college, yet struggle so much when he coaches the pros?
I'm sure it's different for everyone. And it's funny, you mentioned I spent a year with the Browns under Butch Davis. And, well, frankly, I've talked about guys getting fired throughout the season. Butch got let go through the season. So I was there for 365 days and saw three different head coaches in my 1 year stint with the Browns. Butch was a good head coach, but one thing that they had going at that time is they would only draft people they were super familiar with. Not only, but they really leaned that way. Like, oh, we played against him in the Big East. I recruited him from Florida. He went to the U, you know. So they weren't picking from the same deck of cards. And I'm not saying, you know, that's a common problem for college coaches, but Urban Meyer immediately goes and signs Carlos Hyde and then signs Tebow. And, like, you know, pick from a bigger, you know, pool of fish. And I just also think that the time commitment is much different. The media commitments are much different. Really, if you're the head coach, you're really the CEO of a multi-billion dollar organization. I mean, you're closer to the CEO of IBM than you are a linebacker's coach at, you know, Wyoming or something. I mean, you don't do as much coaching. You don't do any recruiting. I mean, that's a big part of it, too, is Meyer had great success, obviously, before Ohio State. But when you can have a top recruiting class year after year, that's a lot different than, boy, I better hit on this first round pick. It's night and day. I mean, again, in the summer, they're organizing camps and recruiting trips and things like that. And frankly, the speed of the game can be an adjustment for these coaches, as is the coordinators and schemers that they line up against.
Well, Matt has been giving us some great insight today. And if you want to use some of that knowledge to make some money, know that BetOnline is the number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. That's one word with no space, LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey Matt, we have a few minutes left, so I'd like you to turn your focus to this rookie quarterback class. Of course, the Jets have Zach Wilson, one of, I believe, five quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Can you speak about your impression so far of Zach Wilson and the overall rookie class at the quarterback position?
It's sort of the same conversation with the exception of Mac Jones, because Mac Jones pretty much plays it close to the vest. He's starting to open things up a little bit. But Lawrence and Wilson in particular, because they've started since day one, it's been a roller coaster. I mean, I'm not saying these guys are going to turn into Aikman and Manning, but that's not uncommon for early picks thrown into a bad team and, you know, thrown right in the deep end with the whole team on their shoulders to sink more than they swim. So I'm not super worried about either of those guys. They're both aggressive by nature, and that has not been whipped out of them in any way. I mean, they are making throws. Their highlight film is impressive. They just have a lot to learn, and I think there's a little bit of a Superman mentality to both of them. My biggest worry, not necessarily negative with Wilson, which I'm sure you're very aware of, is at BYU, he was really operating out of a clean pocket a high percentage of the time. Just didn't have to deal with pressure. The speed of the game was not a problem. You sit back there behind 25-year-old offensive linemen that are back from a Mormon mission or stronger and bigger than the people blocking them, and you pick people apart. And clearly he doesn't have that advantage right now with your Jets.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for rookie quarterbacks transitioning from college to the NFL?
There's just so many. I mean, we could do five podcasts on that, because simple things like now everyone in the huddle, I mentioned 25-year-olds, you know, the 28-year-old guard that has three kids at home and $11 million in the bank that's been in the league for 8 years is looking at you like you know, we need you, the young kid, to have all the answers. And you know you don't, but you still got to, you know, portray the leadership and the knowledge and the comfort level. And, you know, a guy like Joe Burrow blows me away, because in his second year, it really feels like the Bengals are Burrow's team now, you know, that he has that command from day one. And that doesn't mean any of the other guys won't. I mentioned the speed of the game. The speed of the game is much, much different. The coverages you see are much, much different. The protections, I mean, everything's just bigger. I mean, you're learning a new language at a very accelerated pace, and you have so much more on your plate that no one should be surprised when rookie quarterbacks struggle, is all I'm going to say. I mean, like Trey Lance, we didn't even bring him up, but that guy was born in the 2000s, didn't play his senior year, basically, and hasn't played for quite some time. And people are like, oh, I don't know about Trey Lance. He looks like he's over his head. Of course he's over his head. What do you think?
Well, Matt, my last question is just from an outsider's perspective. What's your view on the Jets? And I know this season hasn't been so great, but talking more big picture, do you believe in what the Jets are doing as they try and rebuild this franchise from the ground up?
I do, because I think they have the key to me is, do you have the ladder of command of GM, coach, quarterback? We already talked about the quarterback, and that's an unknown at this point, but I really have extreme faith in the GM, you know, Jamal Adams trade, investing in linemen. I think the head coach was the right hire. He's getting a lot out of a pass rush, for example, that's missing some guys, you know. So I think the building blocks are in place. It won't happen overnight. That's absolutely true. But I like pretty much all their offseason moves. They all add up. You know, you get guys like Lawson back next year. They've had some bad injury luck too, backed in Lawson, and they can't afford those things. So yeah, I mean, they have a lot of work to do, and I'm sure all your listeners understand that, but I am bullish on the people in charge.
Matt, thank you so much for stopping by.
I appreciate it. Good stuff.
That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to close out the week.